March 27th. Our reading in the Old Testament today will come from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7, verse 1, and we'll go through chapter 8, verse 20. We'll see here in chapter 7, Israel had experienced the wrath of God when they allowed themselves to be seduced by the Moabites. Now they were entering a land where they would be surrounded by pagan worship. There could be no compromise. If the nation were defiled by the awful sins of the Canaanites, it would jeopardize the fulfilling of God's promise of the Savior. Israel had to be a separated people if they were to bless the whole world. Moses gives us some motives for personal obedience. To begin with, God has commanded us, and we belong to Him. He is faithful. In what He promises, He will fulfill. Believers today must maintain a separated position, while at the same time loving the lost and seeking to win them to Christ. And as we continue reading on into chapter 8 of Deuteronomy, we'll see that if we trust Him, God will bring us out, lead us through, and bring us in. Whatever He starts, He finishes. As He guides us, God tests us. He tests us by His Word. Will we hear every word that He speaks? And will we obey? He also tests us by His ways. And He always tests us for completion and success. He is not testing us for failure. When God tests us, He wants us to see what He's done so we'll be convinced of it ourselves. See, God already knows what He's done in us, but when we see it ourselves, our faith grows. So He tests us by His ways, putting us into situations that help us to continue to grow and know our own hearts. When we become proud, God has to humble us. When we neglect His Word, He must remind us that His Word is our very life. God tests us by His wealth. If we love Him and feed on His Word, we will rejoice in Him and not just in His gifts. In times of prosperity, it is easy to forget the Lord who makes it possible for us to work and earn wealth. Christians ask God's blessing on their food before they eat, but verse 10 here tells us to bless God after we have eaten. This is one way to remember that God gives us richly all things to enjoy. All right, and with that, let's begin our reading today here in the Old Testament. March 27th, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1 through chapter 8, verse 20. When the Lord your God brings you, the Israelites, into the land you're about to enter and occupy, He will clear away many nations ahead of you: the Hittites, Girgashites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. These seven nations are all more powerful than you. When the Lord your God hands these nations over to you and you conquer them, you must completely destroy them. Make no treaties with them and show them no mercy. Do not intermarry with them, and don't let your daughters and sons marry their sons and daughters. They will lead your young people away from me to worship other gods. Then the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and He will destroy you. Instead, you must break down their pagan altars and shatter their sacred pillars. Cut down their Asherah poles and burn their idols. For you are a holy people who belong to the Lord your God. Of all the people on earth, the Lord your God has chosen you to be His own special treasure. The Lord did not choose you and lavish His love on you because you were larger or greater than other nations, for you were the smallest of all nations. It was simply because the Lord loves you and because He was keeping the oath He had sworn to your ancestors. That is why the Lord rescued you with such amazing power from your slavery under Pharaoh in Egypt. Understand, therefore, that the Lord your God is indeed God. He is the faithful God who keeps His covenant for 1,000 generations and constantly loves those who love Him and obey His commands. But He does not hesitate to punish and destroy those who hate Him. Therefore, obey all these commands, laws, and regulations I am giving you today. If you listen to these regulations and obey them faithfully, the Lord your God will keep His covenant of unfailing love with you, as He solemnly promised your ancestors. He will love you and bless you and make you into a great nation. He will give you many children and give fertility to your land and your animals. When you arrive in the land he swore to give your ancestors, you will have large crops of grain, grapes and olives, and great herds of cattle, sheep and goats. You'll be blessed above all the nations of the earth. None of your men or women will be childless, and all your livestock will bear young. And the Lord will protect you from all sickness. He will not let you suffer from the terrible diseases you knew in Egypt, but he will bring them all on your enemies. You must destroy all the nations the Lord your God hands over to you. Show them no mercy, and do not worship their gods. If you do, they will trap you. Perhaps you will think to yourselves, how can we ever conquer these nations that are so much more powerful than we are? But don't be afraid of them. Just remember what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all the land of Egypt. Remember the great terrors the Lord your God sent against them. You saw it all with your own eyes. And remember the miraculous signs and wonders and the amazing power he used when he brought you out of Egypt. The Lord your God will use the same power against the people you fear. And then the Lord your God will send hornets to drive out the few survivors still hiding from you. No, do not be afraid of those nations, for the Lord your God is among you, and he is a great and awesome God. The Lord your God will drive those nations out ahead of you little by little. You will not clear them away all at once, for if you did, the wild animals would multiply too quickly for you. But the Lord your God will hand them over to you. He will throw them into complete confusion until they are destroyed. He will put their kings in your power, and you will erase their names from the face of the earth. No one will be able to stand against you, and you will destroy them all. You must burn their idols in fire, and do not desire the silver or gold with which they are made. Do not take it, or it will become a snare to you. For it is detestable to the Lord your God. Do not bring any detestable objects into your home, for then you will be set apart for destruction just like them. You must utterly detest such things, for they are set apart for destruction. Be careful to obey all the commands I am giving you today. Then you will live and multiply, and you will enter and occupy the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for 40 years, humbling you and testing you to prove your character and to find out whether or not you would really obey his commands. Yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people need more than bread for their life. Real life comes by feeding on every word of the Lord. For all those 40 years, your clothes didn't wear out, and your feet didn't blister or swell. So you should realize that just as a parent disciplines a child, the Lord your God disciplines you to help you. So obey the commands of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land of flowing streams and pools of water, with springs that gush forth in the valleys and hills. It is a land of wheat and barley, of grapevines, fig trees, pomegranates, olives and honey. It is a land where food is plentiful and nothing is lacking. It is a land where iron is as common as stone, and copper is abundant in the hills. When you have eaten your fill, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. But that is the time to be careful. Beware that in your plenty you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands, regulations, and laws. For when you have become full and prosperous and have built fine homes to live in, and when your flocks and herds have become very large and your silver and gold have multiplied along with everything else, that is the time to be careful. Do not become proud at that time and forget the Lord your God, who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. Do not forget that he led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with poisonous snakes and scorpions, where it was so hot and dry. He gave you water from the rock. He fed you with manna in the wilderness, a food unknown to your ancestors. He did this to humble you and test you for your own good. He did it so you would never think that it was your own strength and energy that made you wealthy. Always remember that it is the Lord your God who gives you power to become rich, and He does it to fulfill the covenant He made with your ancestors. But I assure you of this, if you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods, worshiping and bowing down to them, you will certainly be destroyed, just as the Lord has destroyed other nations in your path. You also will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. March 27th. And now, as we turn our attention to the reading of the New Testament, our text today will be from the book of Luke chapter 7, beginning at verse 36. We'll go through chapter 8 and verse 3. We'll see that she could not hide. The sinful woman trusted Christ, and He saved her. Now she wanted to express her love to Him. You know, true faith cannot be hidden, and true faith shows itself in love and worship. Simon the Pharisee was blind. He could not even see himself, the Lord, or the woman. He was an empty shell. He had no idea the debt that he owed. As we move into Luke chapter 8, we'll be reading about a multitude hearing Him. Jesus was not impressed by the crowds that followed Him, for He knew the spiritual condition of their hearts. The parable of the sower helps us examine our hearts to see how we respond to the Word. But it's not enough to hear the Word. We must also obey it and trust it when the time of testing comes. And of course, the time of testing will surely come. What parallels do we find in Scripture with the Israelites of the biblical days and our country today? Ron Mell, in his book Right with God, he says, when God says, heed my word, we need to remember that He has watched countless people walk across this planet. He has watched the pain and trouble that have come from every violation of His commands. How could a loving God do less than warn us? How could He do less than set His protective fences down across the landscape of our lives and urge us to walk safely within them? The Ten Commandments are those fences to keep us safe. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 19, the Word says, if you forget the Lord your God and follow other gods, worshiping and bowing down to them, you will certainly be destroyed. We may think God exists to bless America. We, of course, are familiar with the song, God Bless America. The bumper stickers that say, God Bless America. Our president always finishes speeches, well, very often anyway, with God Bless America. We may think God exists to bless America, but according to Scripture, according to the one who has watched countries and nations and kingdoms rise and fall, America exists to bless God. Perhaps we should have a bumper sticker that we would circulate that would say, not God bless America, but America bless God. Well, with that, let's begin our reading today here in the New Testament. March 27th, Luke chapter 7, verse 36, through chapter 8, verse 3. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to come to his home for a meal. So Jesus accepted the invitation and sat down to eat. A certain immoral woman heard he was there and brought a beautiful jar filled with expensive perfume. Then she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. Then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. When the Pharisee, who was the host, saw what was happening and who the woman was, he said to himself, "This proves that Jesus is no prophet. If God had really sent him, He would know what kind of woman is touching him. She's a sinner." Then Jesus spoke up and answered his thoughts. "Simon," he said to the Pharisee, "I have something to say to you." "All right, teacher," Simon replied. "Go ahead." Then Jesus told him this story. A man loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver to one and 50 pieces to the other. But neither of them could repay him. So he kindly forgave them both, canceling their debts. Who do you suppose loved him more after that? Simon answered, I suppose the one for whom he canceled the larger debt. That's right, Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, Look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet, but she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't give me a kiss of greeting, but she has kissed my feet again and again from the time I first came in. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love. But a person who is forgiven little shows only little love. Then Jesus said to the woman, Your sins are forgiven. The men at the table said among themselves, Who does this man think he is, going around forgiving sins? And Jesus said to the woman, Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Not long afterward, Jesus began a tour of the nearby cities and villages to announce the good news concerning the kingdom of God. He took his 12 disciples with him, along with some women he had healed and from whom he had cast out evil spirits. Among them were Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out 7 demons, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's business manager, Susanna, and many others who were contributing from their own resources to support Jesus and his disciples. Psalm 69, verses 1 through 18. Psalm 69 begins with sinking, but ends with singing. It goes from prayer to praise, from reproach to rejoicing, because David poured out his heart to the Lord. Listen, no matter how painful your situation may be, tell God exactly how you feel. Go to God and don't try to put on religious airs. And this is a messianic psalm. Out of David's sufferings, the Lord revealed his Son. One purpose God has in allowing his people to suffer is that they might become more like Jesus Christ. And that makes it worth it all. In attacking King David, the enemy is also rebelling against God and inviting their own judgment. It's easy to bear reproach because we want to be accepted and approved by others. But in the battle against sin, God's soldiers are often falsely accused and lied about. When this happens to you, remember that it also happened to David, and it also happened to Jesus. You're in good company. A.B. Simpson said, I would rather play with forked lightning or take in my hand living wires with their fiery current than speak a reckless word against any servant of Christ or idly repeat the slanderous darts which thousands of Christians are hurling on others to the hurt of their own souls and bodies. Psalm chapter 69, verses 1 through 18. For the choir director, a psalm of David, to be sung to the tune Lilies. Save me, O God, for the floodwaters are up to my neck. Deeper and deeper, I sink into the mire. I can't find a foothold to stand on. I'm in deep water, and the floods overwhelm me. I'm exhausted from crying for help. My throat is parched and dry. My eyes are swollen with weeping, waiting for my God to help me. Those who hate me without cause are more numerous than the hairs on my head. These enemies who seek to destroy me are doing so without cause. They attack me with lies, demanding that I give back what I didn't steal. Oh God, you know how foolish I am. My sins cannot be hidden from you. Don't let those who trust in you stumble because of me. Oh Sovereign Lord Almighty, don't let me cause them to be humiliated, O God of Israel, for I am mocked and shamed for your sake. Humiliation is written all over my face. Even my own brothers pretend they don't know me. They treat me like a stranger. Passion for your house burns within me, so those who insult you are also insulting me. When I weep and fast before the Lord, they scoff at me. When I dress in sackcloth to show sorrow, they make fun of me. I am the favorite topic of town gossip, and all the drunkards sing about me. But I keep right on praying to you, Lord, hoping this is the time you will show me favor. In your unfailing love, O God, answer my prayer with your sure salvation. Pull me out of the mud. Don't let me sink any deeper. Rescue me from those who hate me, and pull me from these deep waters. Don't let the floods overwhelm me, or the deep waters swallow me, or the pit of death devour me. Answer my prayers, O Lord, for your unfailing love is wonderful. Turn and take care of me, for your mercy is so plentiful. Don't hide from your servant. Answer me quickly, for I am in deep trouble. Come and rescue me. Free me from all my enemies. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1. To learn, you must love discipline. It is stupid to hate correction.